You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I'm your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, Severe Circle.
Identity theft.
Identity theft.
That's right. I'm Gordy Mandius, courtesy of Justin Crandall.
A very good one.
Yeah. It's, I don't, I feel like I don't even need to say, like, my real name.
Gord of Gordies.
Yeah. How's that poem go? Something about an obelisk in a desert. Right.
I just remember the King of Kings part.
That sounds right.
King of Kings, Gordy Mandius. I remember the Monty Python sketch where it's a weird one. It's a weird episode about a very surreal department store where there are poets reciting poetry but keep making it about ants. Anyway, that's a different show.
Yeah, what's this one?
Carmen is going to read to Tyler and I a... weird or unknown fairy tale, one that...
A more obscure fairy tale.
More obscure one that we've never heard before, and one that we hope some of you have never heard before. And we're going to transform it in the retelling into something palatable for a modern audience. Or just give it a new coat of paint and see how it treats you after that.
Not necessarily better, but a different one.
It will be different. It may not be better. It's
sometimes markedly worse.
I don't know. You throw a bunch of stuff into a wood chipper. What comes out?
Toilets, other stuff. Apparently.
Toilets. Sometimes. Is this the toilet one?
No, we're not doing the toilet one yet.
Okay. Back to back toilets would be pretty good.
or pretty bad.
I'm gonna try and spread out the manure.
That's a good call.
So we're going to ancient Egypt today.
Okie doke.
Probably return to Grimm next week, because it'll have been about a month at that point.
I honestly never remember.
Ancient Egypt fits my title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So, good.
See your obelisk.
Good pool.
Did Ozzy Osbourne ever release an album called Ozymandias?
Ozzy Borniest?
He should have. That seems
Ozzy
like
Bat
a...
Dice.
I mean, he's still going if he didn't. He's got time.
Let him know. Send an email.
I wish I could just get Ozzy Osbourne on tap.
Do you remember the time that we asked a genie to make Ozzy walk to our graduation party?
Yeah.
This is a weird show.
That might have been on the flagship Ramblecast.
Was it a graduate? I thought it was a family reunion.
It might have been a family reunion.
It was family reunion.
We'd all graduated at that point, so. So today we're reading A Tale of Two Brothers. And this is suggested to us by Sandra from Valencia, Spain.
Ooh.
And this episode has an executive producer.
It doesn't?
We are brought to you this week by Roast Rabbit, who we have given Arne Thompson type ATU 471, The Bridge to Another World.
Is it Terabithia?
No, it's Chicago.
All right. Well, thank you, Roast Rabbit.
Thank you, Roast Rabbit.
Okay. So The Tale of Two Brothers is... fairy tale from ancient Egypt. This is sourced from the D'Orbni Papyrus and Hieratic Characters in the British Museum, the Hieratic Text, the Hieroglyphic Transcription by Charles E. Moldenke. This was a very interesting book because it's just this story, but it's like 198 pages, but two-thirds of that is hieroglyphs
just
and hieratic.
Ones.
Yeah.
Mostly in scribbly.
Or pictographs.
Are we reading it in the original... pictograph/hieroglyph?
Yeah, I wrote it down, like, all of my summary notes in, like,
the original
pictures
language.
And squiggles. Yeah.
If you're not reading it in the original language, you're not really reading it.
It's true.
There will be, this is the dub version of the podcast. There will be a sub version.
Where I am speaking in hieroglyph.
I don't know how that works in an audio format. Maybe we just do one and then translate it.
I'm going to be phantom reading this since it's not real if I don't read it in... ancient Egyptian.
You may hear a high-pitched whine throughout the back of this episode. Just run that through Audacity and it will show you an image of the hieroglyphs as we go. Via waveform.
That'd be quite a feat. That's some Da Vinci Code shit. No, that's too advanced for the Da Vinci Code. That book is like, those puzzles should not, like, any 10-year-old should be able to get through most of those.
Yugi Moto scoffs at the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, boy, you just hit on... I know we have a long story. I really want to spend some time on Yugi Moto's Da Vinci Code. That might be the missing piece that book needed.
That is the Da Vinci Code. That was the secret code. It took until now to find out.
It was...
Pointy-haired Japanese boy plays a shadow game with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, the secret of the Da Vinci Code, if Da Vinci's secret, I don't remember what
blue eyes, white dragon.
I don't even remember what it was in the book. Some kind of weird thing about the whatever. Yeah, if it was like
or Exodia,
like a secret card that was so good there was only one copy. You're speaking my language now.
That's in the Da Vinci Code too. Da Vinci or coder. My favorite thing that I've ever seen in a Vidwill so far has been going to the book section and someone had taken every copy of the Da Vinci Code that was in that Goodwill and put them next to each other and it filled up half of one of those long shelf things.
So you're saying not a lot of longevity on that?
No, that fandom. That is a book with an expiration date. All right.
I have one last thing to add.
Yes.
It's time to Da Vinci.
Yep.
That's it. Just wanted to get that in before we moved on.
All right, attention duelists. It's time for the Tale of Two Brothers.
I think we should watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Again.
I think we should just watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, which is a way better show.
No, we should watch the whole show.
No.
There's like a... I gotta watch the whole thing at some point.
This whole thing. I'm watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged.
Are you gonna get to Vrains?
I'd like to. Like, I want to see VR Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay, Tale of Two Brothers. Here we go. You two shut up. Once they were two brothers of the same mother and father.
That's how that works.
Yep.
Typically.
Usually.
There are other ways.
Well, this one's making it clear.
We might have found
our wiggle room.
We may have found our theme.
Oh?
It is Yu-Gi-Oh.
That's the through line?
Yeah.
Anubis was the name of the elder brother.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned I'm not going to be able to move off of this.
Batal, the name of the younger.
Well, we are in Egypt. So that's problematic.
And the first thing I think of about Egypt is Yugi Moto.
Right.
Good history lessons in your school, huh?
Yeah, weirdly, like, my African history class spent a lot of time just on, like,
manga.
Yu-Gi-Oh! And Duel Monsters.
Anubis was married and he had a house, and his younger brother was his servant who attended to his clothes and followed the cattle and took care of all the farm stuff.
Younger brother's name was what?
Bato. The younger brother was a good brother and an excellent workman. For a long time, he tended the cattle and he carried home every night the herbs of the field that he'd gathered while he was out on the pasture watching them.
What a good brother.
And then he set them before the older brother, who passed his time eating and drinking with his wife.
What a nice bad brother.
I mean, I think... I'm sure he's got responsibilities. It sounds like he's not doing them, but I don't think you should get down on somebody for just
having a good time,
wanting to eat and drink with their wife. Like, that's fine.
I mean, that is fine.
If that's what you and your wife are into, like,
but if that's your every day, all day situation, while your brother's like caring for all of your shit.
Right, there are extra circumstances, but like generally speaking. Not a bad way to spend your time.
Sure.
The younger brother would then go and sleep in the stable with the cattle, as was his nightly custom.
Because no bed or because wants to?
It's not very clear if that's just like, that's the room for him or...
it's up to us, and I say because wants to.
Loves cattle.
He
likes breathing in those good cow farts.
Yeah, he can concentrate out there.
He just needs a stinky zone. To sleep in.
He's got his own...
It's warm, right?
Like, he's got hobbies, and he can't be disturbed when he does them.
And the methane concentration like really helps you pass out because you don't have the oxygen.
It's comforting.
Is he just huffing in there?
Just huffing methane.
Methane gets you high, right?
Gets you something.
I mean, any gas, if you inhale enough of it, will get you to something.
Is that why cows is so chill?
Because they're just wasted they're just all the time.
Full of methane gas.
Yeah, they're on grass all the time. The next day, he would bake loaves of bread, give some to his older brother, and take some to the field where he tended the cattle.
Sounds like a thing a high person would do.
Like, bake a shitload of bread.
As soon as you wake up.
I was like, you know what? I need 8 loaves of bread now. The cattle would tell him where the good herbs were growing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do they?
Uh-huh.
Where are those good herbs?
He'd listen and drive them to where they could eat the good herbs they loved. So they thrived. Good old Colorado cows.
This cow is played by Tommy Chong.
All the cows are? Yeah. It's just him copy-pasted.
All voiced by Tommy Chong.
I was going to say Willie Nelson.
No, it's,
that works too.
It's not voiced by him. He is in a cow outfit.
He's just in they, like a cow onesie.
Yeah, and they have just green screened him to be many of him on a field. When the plowing time came, the older brother said, hey, let's get the oxen ready. It's a good time for plowing. And the younger brother is like, all right, let's do this. And he gets all the stuff ready. And then the next morning, they go out to the field to plow together. And they're cheerful in their work, and they're never idle. So he does get off his ass every now and then.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it helps.
After a few days at work in the field, when the older brother came over to the younger brother and said, hey, I need you to run and fetch some seed from in the town. So the younger brother runs and finds the wife of the older brother sitting in her house, arranging her hair, and asks her if he can take some seed for the field, because his older brother wants him to be quick about it. So... like, can I just get some from the house? She says, go yourself, take as much as you need from the bin, because I don't want to risk my hair touching the ground.
Okay. Is there a reason he wasn't supposed to take the seeds?
I don't... Again, this story is all over the place.
Okay.
This is just kind of the beginning, because I thought brother wanted him to go into town.
Yeah.
But town might just be
house.
Because this is a translation of ancient Egypt from hieroglyphs.
Maybe house is in town.
That is possible. And maybe he needs the permission of the wife because...
it's hers.
Yeah, technically. He doesn't own shit there.
Yeah.
So.
He just it's her, her what now?
Her seeds.
And they're not allowed to have them?
Well, he might not be allowed to just go get them.
Even the younger brother.
Yeah, even if the older brother's told him to. He might still need permission
from... okay, but like... they're there to be used.
Yeah.
Presumably, you just need to ask first.
Yeah.
Is that the
it's
deal?
It's formality. We're assuming.
So the younger brother goes to the stable and fills up a big basket with a bunch of seed that they just keep in their stable. And then he comes back with it, but the brother's wife stops him and asks him how much he has on his shoulders.
This is the good brother, right?
Yeah, this is good brother.
The hardworking one who didn't ask about the seeds?
He did ask her, and she said, go yourself. I don't want to get my hair dirty.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see.
He counts out 5 bushels that he's carrying, and she says, you're very strong.
Oh, boy.
We got ourselves a 5 bushel boy.
I have for some time been admiring your strength.
Mm-hmm.
And her heart grew desirous, for she now knew the full extent of his strength.
You got them nickel biceps, boy.
The what?
Nickel biceps.
Is that a thing?
Nickel biceps?
It's like a dime, but...
5.
Half.
5 bushel nickel? Yeah, nickel bag. Nickel bag.
Look at this photograph.
Look at this.
Every time I do, I remember how many seeds I can carry.
That died harder than nickel bag.
I was trying to like think of a better construction around... like, nickel bag is already like really a stretch.
Yeah.
I think like that is about as much slack as that line has anymore, and it just snaps.
All right. So she arose, passionately enamored of him, and says, hey, let's go enjoy an hour of intercourse.
Whoa.
That sounds like he's going to get charged for it.
How many rounds?
I don't, like, one with a lot of stamina. Probably get like 3 in there.
Depends how you want to spend your resources, I guess.
Any foreplay, or are they just going to go at it?
Probably a little bit in the beginning. This was foreplay. He carried
the bushels.
He carried 5 bushels. That's all she needed. She said, let's do it.
He is
the juices are going.
He's a 5 bushel boy.
Yeah.
He can probably bet he knows how to work a lady.
for an hour.
He can work a field. He can work cattle. He can work a lady.
Sure.
Yeah, and then in exchange, I will do many favors for you, like make you two nice clothes. It says two beautiful garments, but I like two nice clothes as a phrase a lot better.
Two clothing for you. This is prostitution.
Very nice. Kind of like, sort of. I guess he would be the prostitute in the situation.
Yeah, like she's trading goods for sex.
Yeah, usually the proposition goes the other way.
Yeah, now I don't know if this is just generally worth noting. We don't know the cultural context to these actions, but nowadays we might call that prostitution.
Who's getting the clothes?
He's going to get the two nice clothes.
The good brother.
Is it to replace the one she's about to decimate?
Yeah. She's going to rip him right off of those good old five bushel arms. All right, so the young man became like a southern panther and flew into a towering rage at the solicitation of this sin. So she becomes afraid of him as he yells at her about where her place is and where his place is, and like, that's his brother you're talking about.
It was forward.
Yeah.
She probably should have tested the water a little bit more just coming out right with that.
So he tells her, like, never ask me about this again, and I promise not to tell anyone that you did it this time. Like, water under the bridge, but keep this to your own damn self.
I mean, that seems like a fair, amicable conclusion.
Yep. So he goes back to his brother, and they just keep working.
Seeds aplenty.
I'm gonna go ahead and, like, trigger warning this. You might want to skip ahead just a little bit if you do not enjoy mentions of falsified sexual assault accusations.
Oh, cool.
That's where we're headed.
It's kind of a bummer that, I mean, like, it's not a new phenomenon, I know, but still.
You're just hit with the gravity of this centuries old story.
Yeah. Oh, this whole story is fucking terrible for women. This is not a good lady story.
This is like ancient Egypt too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I would think that things would be better for women back then. Typically not.
But like the scales had not quite tipped over to full misogyny just yet.
Yeah.
And they're just working their way there. Well, this one's there. All right, so in the evening, the older brother goes home, and the younger brother walks behind the cattle with all the produce on his back, because he's a very strong bushel boy. The wife of the older brother was afraid that the younger brother had told him what had happened, so she had besmeared herself with grease and dirt and gave herself the appearance of one who had been ravished so that she could pretend the younger brother had done her violence.
Just a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Which is a little lame because he seems the trustworthy sort, as has been presented thus far.
I don't know that she listened to him very carefully when he said, I'm not going to tell anybody about this. Let's keep going on our lives as though it never happened. Why grease?
I mean, I don't even know if I want to go there.
Maybe she likes it.
It just seems like a weird way to falsify evidence. Like, do you Crisco her up? Like, what? In any kind of situation, why grease?
What is that game theory, Gordy?
What?
The punishment or...
The prisoner's dilemma?
Yeah. Is that the one I'm thinking of? You both choose?
Yeah, like whether to tell on the partner or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the math is that you should always turn your partner in.
So that's what she's doing. Not to belittle this situation, but she's taking the safest route. For her.
I guess. I think this situation might be more complex.
Perhaps.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
All right, so the husband comes to the house as usual to find his wife lying on the floor like one who has been outraged by some villain. She didn't fetch water for his hands as she always did, nor did she light the lamp for him. She was just lying besmeared on the floor. So first thing he sees is wife on floor. Second thing is like, where's the water for my hands?
Well, if you're expecting the typical
Why are the
regimen.
Lights out? Hey, what are you doing on the floor?
Maybe she was sleeping.
This is older brother?
Yeah, older brother's come home. Yeah. And so he sees her lying on the floor and says, all right, who had intercourse with you?
Has this happened before?
It's
a jump.
I don't think so. But, like, no water, lights out. She's on floor, surely. something went down.
I guess that's the math.
I don't know why that specifically. Maybe that's what, maybe Greece is like what happens. Like you just Crisco each other up and that's how you know that someone's been lucky that day or unlucky in this particular case.
I guess I wouldn't know.
It is kind of a public sign. It's like,
is it?
It's the afterglow when you walk around like fully Criscoed up on the streets. Like, yeah, I just got some.
You know, like when you, like if you do the walk of shame.
Uh-huh.
And you kind of, and you walk,
concept.
Like you walk back to your car or place or train or whatever.
Disheveled.
And you're just fully greased up head to toe.
Right.
You do the greasing so that the walk of shame goes faster.
Yeah. You want to slide across the ground.
It smooths your ride.
Yes. You want to be able to just lie down and kick off of something and shoot back to your home.
Bit of a slippery gait.
I would like to note that these grease jokes are only applicable for consensual, shameful experiences.
Yes.
We all consent to shame.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, it kind of simulates birth, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of come out of there greased so that you ensure that birth doesn't happen. That's like a contraception.
Maybe because you grease yourself up and you're just like, no, I'm the baby.
I'm the birth.
I'm the one near the vagina who's greased up, so it can't be another one.
Yep, we're good.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's a strange warding spell.
I could see that being the results of like the abstinence-only education in a slightly weirder version of this universe. It's like, all right, sex equals baby. I'm the baby. No room for another.
Cancel baby. I am baby already. Highlander baby. Only right. One.
You say, I'm the baby, not the mama.
So she accuses the younger brother and she makes up the whole story, taking what actually happened and just twisting it around so that certain words were said by her instead of him and vice versa. And then she says, if you let him live, I must die because he'll definitely beat me for betraying him. Which is, I guess, also a good contingency plan on her part because she's in it now.
Yeah, she kind of went DEFCON immediately.
Right, like...
Yeah.
She could have taken her chances. She could have maybe, like, if the husband had confronted her, twisted around to be like, no, it was the other way. But she went... She's gonna
Full
have
offenses.
Him. Yeah, she's gonna have him killed before he could possibly spill her secret.
And all of this because she shot her shot and missed.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause she misread a situation, trying to do the infidelity.
Yeah.
I did not think that this woman would be the least sympathetic character.
Well, now the older brother becomes like a Southern Panther, and he whets his knife, takes it in his hand, and hides behind the door of the stable to kill his younger brother.
Wets it?
Yeah.
Does that
a
help?
Wet stone.
Oh. That
yeah.
That kind of wet.
Wets it.
He wets.
Sunsets, younger brother comes home with the cattle, and as the cattle are heading into the stable, the lead cattle says, yo, take care, your older brother's standing here with a knife, ready to kill you.
Tommy Chong gives him the heads up.
So you might want to run, and then the second cow goes through and says the exact same thing, so he like peeks under the door and he sees his brother's feet there. Like, oh, shit. So he drops his load of harvest stuff and runs. The older brother then pursues him with a knife, and the younger brother invokes the sun god Rahorkati, who hears his prayer and causes a big river to flow between him and his older brother, and the river is full of crocodiles in case his older brother gets any ideas about crossing it.
Big river.
Nice little touch. Just a
bonus. I like the image of, like, a sudden river... Like you're pouring it from the sky, but also there are just crocodiles getting slurried
dumping
in there.
Out of the sky.
Yeah.
Like getting pushed with the water, looking very confused.
I bet that younger brother, whose name I do not remember, could take older brother in a fight.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot more heavy lifting. Younger brother's name is Batau.
Older brother is one bushel at best.
All right, so the two brothers are now separated by the river, and the older brother chucks two stones at his younger brother, but doesn't manage to hurt him.
Yeah, it's easy to dodge across a river.
I do like the childishness of that, though.
He's doing
Fuck
his,
you.
He's doing his best out there.
And the younger brother shouts at him, "Hey, tomorrow I will explain everything, but I can't be a son to you any longer, nor can I live with you." Obvs.
A son?
He gestures at River, clearly.
Apparently, as the younger brother, he's in his rant to the wife. He said, like, "You're like my mother, he's like my father." Like, that's kind of the weird contractual relationship.
Weird that she would try to bang him.
Well, she's not literally his mom.
Clearly, she did not feel that way.
I know, but, like, if that is... Like, there are people who aren't, like, literally your mom, but you think of them as, like, sort of like a mom.
Yeah.
And it's still weird if you try to sleep with them.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't try to sleep with her.
Well,
what I'm saying is she saw him as, like, a hot fucking meat pile.
Yeah, he's a sexy 5-bushel man, and he's her mom.
Yeah, I mean, that is the subject of...
That is the disconnect.
The subject of many a tawdry romance novel.
So the next day, the two brothers met again on either side of the river, and the younger brother says, "Hey, why the killing thing? Why you do this? Your wife asked to bang me, and I yelled at her, and then I didn't do it." And he tells the whole story, swearing by Rahor Kuti that it's true.
The one who helped make a river for him.
Maybe that might be a different one. Yeah, it was the one. They just spelled it slightly differently. So then he takes a sharp knife and maims himself, casting some of his flesh into the water as food for the fish.
And alligators.
Probably.
Or crocodiles.
The fish became food for the crocodiles, so through the transitive property. And then he becomes very weak and faint, as you probably do when you carve off a piece of yourself and watch it get eaten by fish.
What did he carve?
Doesn't say.
Face?
Yeah.
Cheek?
Yeah. Butt cheek? Does not say. It's like a weird passive-aggressive guilt-tripping thing that he did.
Just carved off an armpit, tossed it into the river.
I did a nice thing, Chuck. So the older brother took this to heart, and he wept very violently, but he couldn't cross the river to, like, hold his younger brother because of crocodiles.
Yeah.
So the younger brother then yells out, "You imagined an evil thing of me when I did nothing but good for you. So you go home and you tend for your cattle because I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to the Acacia Hill. Learn, however, what will happen to me in the transformation of my heart, which I will place in the highest blossom of the acacia." This is when shit starts going bad.
Okay.
"When the tree is cut down, my heart will fall, and you will come look for it. When 7 years of your quest are ended, don't be discouraged, because that's when you're going to finally find it. Put it in a jar of clear water, and then I will revive and give further instructions to you."
What? That's part one?
Wait.
Just cross the river.
Say that again?
He's going to go to the Acacia Hill. He's going to put
the younger brother.
Yeah. He's going to put his heart in a blossom of a tree. When the tree's cut down, his heart's going to fall. His brother is going to look for it. He's going to look for it in vain for 7 years and then find it. When he does, he needs to put it in a jug of clear water to bring Batau back to life. And then Matau will have further instructions for him at that point.
Why?
Because anger.
Why is this happening?
Just say no. I don't want to.
This is the moment where he's like, you know what? Like, let's duel it out. We're going to, let's play Yu-Gi-Oh. Winner settles the argument.
You'll know when it's time to start your quest because you'll have a jug of beer in your hand and it will begin to ferment.
That's every night.
Yeah, but the fermenting. Yeah, that's the bit. That's when you need to leave and start hunting for my heart.
That's the fucking pistol at the beginning of this race.
Wouldn't the beer already be fermented?
I'm guessing this is another translation thing.
Is that a visual indication or is he going to taste it?
It's a visual. You'll see. All right, so younger brother leaves for the Acacia Hill. The older brother goes home and puts his wife to death and then feeds her to the dogs.
Okay.
Ooh, wait, whoa. Was that part of the instructions?
No.
No, just...
It was just like his casual...
That was just for him.
...ending business.
Bye, greasy lady.
Then he weeps for the younger brother.
Bye. Bye, greasy lady. Who's the lady who was on the...
Now,
with the White Snake song, and she was on the hood of the car.
Oh.
No.
That is beyond me.
Now, in Greasy Lady's defense, if this was going to be the outcome of younger brother telling him, I kind of get why she might have wanted to head that off at the pass.
Being put to death?
Yeah, and then fed to dogs.
Wait, say that again?
I guess she had to try.
Yeah, like, if in her mind she knew, if word of this gets out, I'm going to be dog food. It makes a little bit more sense that she'd try to head that off at the pass and get him killed before anything could happen.
I feel like being put to death is more concerning than being dog food afterwards.
Eh, it's like you don't get an honorable burial. You don't, you are food.
Yeah.
You're just like a trash person at that point.
Yeah, so.
Like that's insult injury.
It's this one. Wait, what? That is not the song.
No, that's Sweet Emotion. That's some Aerosmith. So
I was trying to find, like, look up the reference that I made, because when you said Greasy Woman,
yeah,
for some reason it reminded me of this Whitesnake music video where there's, like, a lady on the hood of a car,
uh-huh,
and her name is Tawny.
And you typed in Whitesnake, and you got, like, Aerosmith.
I found a clip, like a video clip from the music video, but it's
playing a different song.
It's an Aerosmith song playing over it. I don't understand, like, why? Why?
Might as well jump, Greasy Lady.
Like, can you do that?
Can
you just put someone else's music?
That's an interesting, like, thought experiment, I guess. Like, what songs go better with this music video than the actual song?
That'd be a fun channel that probably exists three times over. All right. So for a long time, the younger brother lived on the hill alone, hunting beasts and resting under the acacia in whose highest blossoms he'd already put his heart. After a while, he built himself a house, and then one day he was walking around when he chanced to meet a circle of the gods who were deliberating the affairs of their land. The circle of the gods addresses him directly, tells him that his brother had fed his wife to the dogs, and Ruhor Kuti says to Knum that they should fashion a wife for Betel because they feel bad that he's all alone now. So they make him a real hottie.
They just make a lady.
Yeah.
Weird science.
Yeah. And she's, like, got the godhead in her. And
from the younger, the what?
They're,
the brother?
They're making a wife for the younger brother.
Is that to dissuade him from putting his heart in a tree?
No, he already did that. They just feel bad that he's lonely.
Oh, okay. Like,
he didn't ask for this.
No, but he's real into it.
Well,
seven Hathors came to view her and said, yeah, this one's going to cause this guy's death. But he loved her with all his boner, and so he takes her home.
Not his heart. That's gone.
She's going to cause his death?
Yeah.
And that's a problem?
I mean, probably.
So the gods messed up?
Apparently.
Like, they did it.
Did they know?
Is that a whoopsie that they didn't mean to do?
I think they were trying to, like, work in his best interest, give him someone to keep him busy and mm-hmm. interested in life. But, yeah, they just...
Accidental death clause?
Yeah. The goddess Hathor is a goddess who personifies the principles of love, beauty, music, dance, motherhood, and joy. So she looks at this chick and she's like, yeah, this one's a loser. This one's no good.
I guess she would know.
But she's real hot, so he's all cool with it. So he takes her to his house and cautions her not to go too far from the house, lest the river seize upon her, for he is too weak to rescue it because he is a woman like herself and his heart is in the tree.
Sure. I won't argue.
Then he tells her his whole life story and they, like, just...
Do it.
Probably. Well, they just do their thing.
It's a romantic story.
They live, he hunts, she hangs out in the house. One day she's walking around near the house, taking a stroll, when the river happens to see her and then dashes up to follow her, and she runs away into the house. But the river calls to the acacia tree and says, I'm in love with her. So the tree says, cool, bro, and gives her gives it a lock of her hair.
Check what I've got, river.
So the river takes a lock of her hair and carries it to Egypt and deposits it by the washerman of the currently reigning pharaoh.
So that's just where it keeps its stash of goodies?
Yeah.
River goodies?
By the what?
The washerman of the reigning pharaoh.
Okay. Men who wash?
Yeah, they're washing clothes.
Okay.
The odor of the hair pervaded the clothes of the pharaoh, which Ooh. Caused a dispute among the washermen, making them quarrel daily without knowing the reason, precisely.
What kind of stinky shampoo is she using?
The overseer of all the washermen just like gets real fed up with this daily bickering no one seems to understand, and is just staring moodily at the river when he sees the lock of hair, and sends someone to get it because he's the overseer. He's not gonna go get it his own damn self.
Just gonna oversee them getting it.
So they find that the hair is the source of it's a nice smell. It's a very nice smell. So they take the hair to the pharaoh. Here's some soggy hair we found. It smells like flowers.
Pharaoh, you gotta whiff this, my dude.
So the scribes and the wise men tell the pharaoh that this hair belongs to the daughter of Ra Horkuti, and in her is all the essence of the godhead. And since he rules over foreign countries, he should dispatch messengers to all of them to go find her. But when he dispatches messengers to the Acacia Tree Hill, then he needs to take also like hundreds of men to capture her. Because apparently they know exactly where she is. So I don't know why he's going on this, like, bother the other countries.
As ruler of this nation, you have to send out all these other messengers on busy work. Because you got to pay them to do something.
The pharaoh replies, "What you say is very good," and does it.
Nice.
So all the other messengers come back, but no one returns from the Acacia Hill because Betau had killed all of them, except for one to carry the news back. But I guess he didn't. I don't know. That's real confusing at this
point.
With
his bushel punches.
Yeah. The pharaoh sends more men to fetch the woman, and they take along a woman who carried nice trinkets that women fancy. So this time...
Send a girl to talk to her.
This time Betau's wife... comes back to Egypt with her.
The fanciest dildos.
Dildo trinkets.
What? Trinkets? That's a trinket, right?
They laid out a line of dildos that led back to the pharaoh's palace.
And she's just like, ooh.
Ooh. Don't mind if I do.
Dildos.
So she comes back to Egypt with them, and the pharaoh is so enamored of her that he makes her a legit wife instead of just a side piece, as originally intended.
She just points at somebody. You're out. You're in.
Tag in, real life.
Uniforms.
Make it a lineup change.
You're in the bullpen.
Taking one of my three substitutes.
So she tells him all about her legally married husband and tells him that if he has the acacia tree cut down, the heart will fall from it and kill him. So Pharaoh's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Why? Is he coming?
Betau?
Yeah.
She's legally married to him. I don't know.
She was
because women
literally
suck.
Created for him.
Yeah, but women suck, Tyler. It's in their DNA. They're the worst. So they're all harpy bitches, and nice guys can't ever have one because they like jerks like the pharaoh.
Even when they're literally created for the purpose of being the wife of.
Yeah,
one.
But like a lady holding dildos can immediately erase all of that.
It just you hear that, fellas? All she has to do is touch a dildo once.
She's not
to
yours anymore.
That you are not necessary.
That's it.
Beware the dildo witch.
So the pharaoh has the acacia tree cut down, and the next day, Betau's older brother takes a jug of beer, which then turned to froth in his hands, and the same happens to some wine, which he was not warned about, but apparently he is not allowed to drink alcohol until he finds his brother, so that's a pretty good fail-safe. He actually
gets up.
It's
a good motivator.
It is his favorite thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, this, like, Homer Simpson of a man.
So he goes out, he takes his spear and his sandals and starts for the Acacia Hill. He finds his brother dead, weeps over the corpse, and searches for the heart for 3 years, and I guess dicks around for another 4 years, after which something confusing happens with the heart wanting to go to Egypt, and then he finds it in an acacia pod.
Was it necessary to the events playing out that he had to actively be looking that whole time?
Maybe.
Because if he knew it was going to take a year, couldn't you just like
skip the first,
kick it for six?
Have someone else pour beer into your mouth if you can't pick it up.
Or just drink something else for a bit.
Not an option.
Suckle on your cows.
Not an option for him, I guess.
So he takes it out of the pod and he puts it in clear water. At evening, the heart absorbs the water, so he washes it in more water and it revives, and Batu's fine and they embrace.
He grows like one of those dinosaurs?
Yeah, like the spongy ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a man in a jug of water.
All right, so now it's time for those further instructions that he'd warned about.
Does he die again after he gives them?
I'm going to turn into an Apis bull.
Mm-hmm.
With all the required markings and a mysterious origin. We're going to do some role, some good old cow role play like I like to do.
Good to get the heads up first, I guess.
You're going to ride on my back and we're going to go to the Pharaoh where my wife is, and he will give you many presents and a lot of money for me. I will be considered a great prodigy and there will be a lot of joy on my account, but you need to go home after you get your stuff. So the next day they do this. The older brother goes back home with his new swag, and the younger brother, as a bull, gets a lot of sacrifices made to him, a bunch of servants, and many dainties. I love the idea of a ton of servants just surrounding this bull, feeding him like petit fours.
And asking him about his dark origins.
It's his cool original fanfic characters.
Anti-hero bull.
That he's role-playing on AOL Instant Messenger.
Crescent moon scar and cape and long white hair. And a sword with no name.
Sort of auto-generated, like a modern fantasy novel.
Two colored eyes. Two different colored eyes.
There you go.
Both look sad.
Yeah.
So sometime later, when I guess he gets bored of all of this pampering, he, as a bull, goes into the harem and stands in front of the queen. I love this image. And he says, "Hey, I'm alive." And she says, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Bato, that guy you tried to kill. But see, I am alive. I am this bull." Which is the exact line.
I am this bull.
"But see, I am alive. I am this bull."
I mean, fucking refute it. You can't.
The queen is alarmed checkmate. By this.
So, like, yeah, it should have ended with checkmate. I am this bull. Checkmate.
So she recoils in fear, and the bull just turns around and leaves. I like the image of this
That's
bull.
That's all he
like,
wanted
yeah,
to do? Just,
yeah, like cold shoulder, huffy leaving. So one day, the Pharaoh is enjoying the society of his wife, who is with him at the table, when he became so fond of her, and I'm guessing this is a sexual reference, that she begged him to swear to do whatever she asked him to. And he's like, "Yeah, what? Sure."
Yeah, I'm in a great mindset to agree to that. Go for it.
She says, "I want to eat the liver of that bull who's so useless to you."
Done and done. Will that make you sexier?
Do anything?
The king is troubled by this, but the next day he offers up large sacrifices in honor of the bull and then sends his chief butcher to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
While the killing is occurring, the bull like lowers its head for the death blow, and then two drops of blood ooze out and fall, one on each side of the two large doors to the Pharaoh's house, and then grow into two high perseas, which are like laurel-like evergreen trees. And this is seen as a great omen for the Pharaoh, and all the people are rejoicing, and they make sacrifices to the trees now. So Bato is just, like, bathing in the blood of something.
Bathing in the blood of something.
Sometime later, the Pharaoh gets into his nicest clothes, and into a very fancy chariot, dresses up real nice, to go look at the trees.
They're just outside?
Yeah. But he's gonna...
He's gotta make a show out of it.
Yeah, he's in a chariot, he's in his best outfit, and he's gonna go sit under a tree.
Gotta look better than those trees.
The queen came in the chariot behind him. Pharaoh sits beneath one tree, she sits beneath another, and Bato, as the tree, addresses her, "Oh, you wicked one. I am Bato, still alive."
Check. Mate. I'm a tree.
I'm everywhere.
I'm never gonna die. So the queen pulls the same gambit the next time she and the Pharaoh are hanging out alone, and says that she wants planks made out of them.
You couldn't even come up with like a chair, boat
made out of the tree.
Yeah,
I just want loose lumber. I would rather have loose lumber than trees.
This is just what I'm into now. I need lumber.
I need railroad ties.
Yeah, she just wants, let the two Perseus be cut down and have good planks made of them. That's it. That's all she wants. She wants planks.
For what? Fuck you. That's what.
She's just just writhing with sex juices for 2x4s.
And King says, fine, whatever. So while the skillful workers cut down the trees, the queen was watching to make sure it happened. And a splinter of the tree flew off and entered her mouth.
I'm you, checkmate.
I'm in you now.
Then she felt she'd conceived.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she was happy because that's all she'd wanted.
What?
She wanted a plank baby.
Oh, you silly women. That's all it takes.
You don't know what you want until a tree
impregnates you.
Until a tree goes in you.
You want that wood. That's what you want.
Yeah, I guess.
You want a baby from some wood.
Not as subtle as I thought.
All right, so sometime later she has a son. The king gives the child a bunch of nurses and waiting women, and all the people rejoiced. He celebrates a holiday, gives the kid a name, which you'd think would come before the rest of the stuff.
I gotta make sure he's gonna make it.
And he makes him the Prince of Nubia, and then later the governor over the entire country.
Is the baby's first word checkmate?
Yes. After the child had been governor for many years, his majesty flew up to heaven. I think that means the pharaoh died.
Yeah. Not just for a vacay.
Yeah, there was a bit of pronoun confusion going on there. Then Batou, the child, says, "Hey, bring to me all the great chiefs of his majesty, and I'll explain everything weird that's led up to this moment."
My long con.
And I guess he does, and then his wife is brought before him, and he lays the charges against her before the chiefs, who judge between them. And it does not tell us what the judgment is.
Yeah.
Who'd want to know that?
It drops that.
Doesn't.
That whole thread.
We just
matter.
Know that it happens. That's fine.
Then he brought his older brother in and made him the governor of the entire land, while he remained king of Egypt for 30 years. Then he died. And he met his older brother on the day when he cast his anchor in heaven. So apparently his older brother had also died. The end.
Yeah.
Checkmate.
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 It's like a series of checks in a row.
Just backed further into a corner.
It's like she's further under fire.
Queen can move in any direction. But he got her cornered. By becoming her baby.
I mean,
there's a lot of therapy that we need to talk about.
It's therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it do to a woman's mind? For her husband, who she was born for by gods, like she was created to be a wife.
For a specific person.
For this man.
Yes.
She gets him killed. He becomes a bull.
Yeah.
That becomes a tree that becomes her son.
After she has...
Her son's been...
Remarried?
Yes.
Or married for the first time.
Remarried.
They actually got married?
Married for a better time.
She referred to him as her husband.
Okay, yeah. And then she remarried.
She double married.
Double married. Double married because he didn't really ever...
I mean, she married the pharaoh before he was dead and then told the pharaoh how to, like, retroactively make this.
Cool. Right, make it.
Double married baby husband.
Yeah, I think giving birth to your first husband is probably something that is going to take some time to get over.
Can we name a chess maneuver after that?
Giving birth to your husband?
Double married baby husband?
Double married baby husband.
Chess is a solved game, right?
It is a solved, 100% solved.
So we're going to have to rename and maneuver.
Probably.
Not come up with a new one.
Yeah, there is probably already. It exists. Maybe it's like when you get all your pawns to the other side and they're all, like if you just really want to drag the game out and make your victory as complete as possible.
Yeah, you annihilate the other team. And then you take your friggin' time with the king and queen. No, there are only two pieces left.
You and the other combatant, you have to shake hands at the beginning of a game and agree to a double married baby husband.
Yeah.
And you both have to do a circuit across the board from one side to the other and then restart the game.
Yeah.
and then put somebody in checkmate.
I think it'd be fun if in chess tournaments, one of the games you had to play was a wrestling match instead. You don't
like physically between.
Yeah, you don't know which one it's going to be.
Competitors,
but there is a wrestling component, not relevant to the story.
Greco-Roman.
Huh?
Greco-Roman wrestling?
Wrestling? Any kind of wrestling. Whatever.
Pyrotechnic wrestling?
That's up to the combatants.
I suppose.
What do you know? Muay Thai? Wushu?
Sumo?
Whatever. Like, you can bring anything you want to the table.
We have a lot of meat on the story to start picking apart.
Do you have to do you both have to do the same wrestling?
No. It is just a physical contest.
So one of you's trying to sumo the other out of the ring, and the other one's trying to pin you.
Yeah, whatever. Look, whatever you know.
Just playing by different rules.
Yeah.
Against each other.
Yeah. Like chess.
Yeah.
Kinda.
So what were you saying about meat on this story?
There's a lot to tear apart.
I think we got it.
You're good with it as it stands?
Yeah.
A river falls in love with a lady, a tree steals her hair, throws it to him, and the river's like, whatever.
Well, I believe the part that the tree had the hair already.
Tree had just been, like, stroking her scalp for a while.
Yeah. It is not the part of the story that comes to mind when I cast my mind back on it.
They were both made by the same god.
They're, like, siblings.
The who?
The river and the lady.
The river who has the hots for the lady.
Yes.
They're basically siblings.
They're predisposed to like each other.
Right.
Maybe not romantically, but to be in favor of one another.
The river's totally into her in definitely a romantic way. Or at least a physically romantic way.
But all it does is take hair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get what purpose that serves to the story.
To get the hair to the pharaoh. It's a dumb conceit.
Just to sort of move things.
I mean, there is a better way to do that.
Like, have her accidentally lose some fucking hair? Or, I don't know, a handkerchief? Something that's less gross to find in a river?
Just, like, contrive a meet cute. That is not this.
Between the river and her?
No, between the pharaoh and her.
The pharaoh and her.
But the river would be better.
The other stuff, do you need it?
The river's full of crocodiles. And it's not a very sexy river.
Why doesn't a crocodile fall in love with her?
And the river has to fight the crocodile.
Yeah.
Because it's her brother.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I want to get the crocodiles involved.
That'd be rad.
Because they're mentioned, but they're just a deterrent.
Are the crocodiles also the brother of the river?
No, they're like river lice.
Because they also fell from the sky.
They're like lice on a river. Or cereal chunks inside of a river. I don't know. It's a dumb story.
Let's invent a cereal that eats you. Like a cereal that bites back.
Dangeros.
Dangeros.
What do we need to do to this story? Like, what are the big fixes?
Well, let's fix all the women characters.
There's two.
Yeah, they both suck in similar ways.
Yeah.
Infidelity and attempted murder by proxy.
Yeah.
Like having the person that they are actively involved with try and murder the person that they were once or tried to be involved with.
Yep.
They are the same character, copy-pasted, with the developers being like, well, it's hard to model women.
We just use the same rig. They've got, like, all the same animations, textures.
They're so much more complicated than men. So we just had to copy-paste.
And we spent 50 hours programming in their boob physics. The rest is too hard.
But look at that jiggle.
The boob physics, which notably do not react in a realistic way.
No, we wanted boob physics to react in our reality.
My top of mind example of, like,
wasted time.
Yeah, like a real example of a game studio just like wasting time and being, like, just very derogatory is, like, the dead or alive crew, like, spent a lot of time getting each boob to react differently to physics. Like, each one has its own physics. It's like a volleyball game, right?
I mean, it's a fighting game, but there's a volleyball spinoff.
Okay. Yeah, it sucks. It's dumb. It's bad.
Having boobs is like a volleyball game on your chest.
So fix it.
Yeah, like,
I don't, there's just so much of it.
Yeah, there's a lot that's wrong.
What is the point even of this story?
That's a good place to start.
Like, what,
why do
what
we are, know this now?
Like, what are we what is it trying to get at?
I mean,
because that's like, what do you cut to get there? I'm not even sure what the destination is.
Right, other than like, there's not even
like, don't be like these women.
It's not even a named river, so it can't be like a creation myth.
Right.
Like this is why this river's here.
And with one of them named Anubis, I thought it was going to be maybe related to
the dog one.
Yeah, like sort of a myth involving that, but it wasn't. So I guess Anubis was just the Jesus of the situation, named after the god of death.
Why would this story be told?
Like women, man.
Why would it be written down?
Other than just to pass the time. We're supposed to sympathize with younger brother, right?
Yep.
It is called The Tale of Two Brothers.
Yep.
If the title helps give you a direction of where the story thought it was going.
I don't even remember where the other brother ends up.
Home.
Dead.
The older one?
A little dead by natural causes.
Yeah, later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so older
lived
brother.
Lived his life.
Older brother's story is have wife, drink and eat, help with harvest, because everyone has to help with harvest. Think brother done cheated on him, like had his way with his wife.
Uh-huh.
Attempt to kill brother. Sudden crock river. Watch brother cut a piece of himself off, feed it to the fish while yelling at him about the lies his wife told. Feed wife to dog. Sit for untold years in house doing thing. Try to drink beer. Beer sucks.
Can't do that.
Spend 7 years hanging out under a tree.
Get the heart.
Find heart. Put in water.
Becomes a bull.
Yeah, grow brother. Watch brother turn into bull.
Grow bull brother.
Now grow regular human brother. Then watch brother turn into a bull. Ride bull to town. Trade
bull
for gold. Go home.
Die.
Dick about for years. Be made governor.
All right.
Then die.
I guess
the tale of the older brother.
I guess you could do like a redemption story for the older brother. Like he kind of, but I don't want to keep the whole wife false accusation situation.
Right, because that is harmful.
Can we just leave her out of it? Like she doesn't do that much. Like there is a conflict between brothers.
Right.
Right. Like she's not, she really doesn't serve a bigger part than that.
Yeah. She used to cause the wedge between
so
them.
So they have an argument.
Maybe it can be about the like, cows.
Could be. Sure. There's lots of things to get mad at people about. I don't usually like, you don't have to go looking for them. They'll find you.
So like, maybe we have like a situation where because older brother is indolent and hangs out with his wife eating and drinking while younger brother does all the actual work.
Yeah.
That people in the town generally consider that all the stuff is legitimately owned by younger brother.
Uh-huh.
And this gets older brother.
They
all
see him as the respectable one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so older brother gets made fun of for being lazy and terrible at cattle.
Which he is.
Right. And then like this leads to some kind of competition between them, which leads to attempted murder.
Conflict. They fight. Older brother chases younger brother off. The magic stuff happens.
River.
Yeah, which like fine. But then the point is that then like after this other woman stuff happens or something.
We could probably come up with a better conflict because I think one of the compelling things about the conflict, not the circumstances under which it was created, was just the, like, I did you a good turn, and you thought immediately that I would do you ill without, like, questioning.
Between the brothers?
Yeah, like, that's the younger brother's core complaint was, like,
right.
You know, I did the right thing.
Betrayal of trust.
Yeah.
Right.
I did the right thing. I've, you know, done my best to do good by you, and without a second thought, you would assume the worst of me. So we'd probably need a bigger conflict than Cal, but it doesn't
right
need to involve
but
wife.
The where it's going is that he eventually like he puts in the work, like the years that it takes to find his brother's heart,
right?
And then what
diligently
and then when he's a bull, he like helps him and rides him into the Pharaoh's thing and is like on his side then
while
they do some weird stuff.
Do we want to keep shitty wife clone? Shitty wife two, shittier wife. Who like?
Do we need the Pharaoh?
I feel like you need something for him to be a bull about.
I mean, I do like that this woman gives birth to her own husband. Like, for that reason, I kind of want to keep it.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Pharaoh is not the innocent party in this, as he was treated in this story.
Yeah.
Like, probably culturally, this story required the Pharaoh to be...
on the up and up?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because, I mean, the Pharaohs were basically the god emperors of...
Yeah.
Like, you probably couldn't write a story about how your pharaoh is a total sleazeball.
Your pharaoh is a dick.
Yeah.
An ancient Egyptian tale.
Right. But I don't like the, okay, well, I'm going to send 100 men to just take her. Oh, no, they're all killed. I'm going to send 100 men and one woman with, like, baubles and trinkets. And the woman's going to go, ooh, and then follow her back to me and want to murder her husband.
Yeah.
Like I
for extra baubles.
Yeah, like I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love for her to be what she was supposed to be, which was, you know, an actual partner for him.
Sure, that'd be cool.
Because when it was foretold that she would cause his death, I thought it was going to be like not a direct
prophecy and not an active part.
Yeah, like I didn't think she was going to be the orchestrator of his death. I thought that like. In trying to save her from something or what have you, mm-hmm. he would die in a noble kind of way, which I would prefer to.
A know what?
Hmm?
A know what?
A noble kind of way?
A know what?
I have no idea what you're getting at.
A noble kind of way?
Nobel?
You're bull. All right. Yeah, so I would like to switch who the villain is in this tale.
And yeah. Make it the God King.
Now it's a story about resistance.
Right.
Which I feel overthrowing
someone who's corrupted by his own power.
Yeah, overthrowing a tyrannical ruler.
You know, modern sensibilities.
And he's the one trying to kill the bull and chop down the trees once he finds out what's going on with
his evil demon armies.
And then he births a son.
Nah, she can still birth her son's bend, but like it's weird, but it's weird in like a solidarity kind of way.
This is not the first day I have heard the term sunsbend.
No, it's not.
I think it's been brought up before.
Yeah, on this show.
Probably.
But it originated with Griffin McElroy.
Did
King
it?
Of podcasts, yes.
King of podcasts.
Did it? I don't remember that.
It's in the final Pym. That's Rochi.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Rochi's the sunsbend.
Okay. Yes.
That's just a good, useful term when you're talking folk tales because it comes up more than it should.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like it a lot better if you just switch it to like an anti-authoritarianism thing rather than a women are all cheating scums who like shiny objects
just
and will kill you.
Just terrible.
Yeah,
fight the power. And then maybe the bull like has a fight scene at the end where he kills some... like demon soldiers
with his sword without a name,
with his big
I do love just the mysterious origin aspect of this bull.
We didn't really talk about it. We glazed over it because we gave him his DeviantArt sort of makeover.
Yeah,
but does anybody care? Does anybody ever ask like, where'd you get that bull? And then somebody goes, nobody knows.
So an Apis bull is a divine bull who's supposed to, like, it's worshipped as the son of Hathor.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a specific kind of bull that he's trying to be. But yeah,
the
mysterious origin. There's some kind of marking that's supposed to indicate it.
The origin or the bull?
The bull.
Still, why does, like, who's going to ask?
Yeah, who's going to ask the bull where it came from? But I do like the idea of him carefully crafting.
I mean, it's important to his RP.
Yeah.
If he's going to be in the mindset of this bull and, like, play a bull accurately, he needs to know the full backstory.
All right. Pull back. This story is now the tale of the AOL Instant Messenger role-playing games that were so popular in the late 90s, early aughts.
Oh, man.
and that's who these characters are, and it's the Yu-Gi-Oh! Reimagined as an RP.
Oh, I remember those RP servers, or whatever you call them.
It was just a chat room.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Smells like eighth grade to me.
So we take all of this, and it's that.
Yeah.
Does that make it better?
No, it makes it into the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, I like that movie. It's pretty good.
We've made it for someone, I guess.
Made it for me. Why is Damodar's mouth blue? If anybody knows, let me know. I don't know to this day.
Is that one of your conspiracy theories?
What? Why is his mouth blue? Yeah,
that's more of a conspiracy question.
No, it's a legit question.
But can you please go to like a truther meeting and bring it up?
Why is Damodar's mouth blue? So yeah,
somebody says the earth is flat. Somebody else says
jet
fuel can't melt steel beams.
We should wrap this up because we've taken up enough of your time already. I will say that I will be gone the first week of September. And during this time, if the stars align, I will be going to a conspiracy theory convention.
Excellent.
In San Francisco.
Are you allowed to videotape?
I don't know. I need to practice my know if I believe it, but like I'm open-minded and I'm just questioning like how do we know what they taught us in school?
It's a good voice for that.
Like I gotta work out that routine. Figure out how many questions I can ask, but maybe I can slip in some about Damodar's mouth. That's my goal. That's my goal. I'm gonna try to get from conspiracy theory to talking about the first Dungeons and Dragons movie and see if I can do it without them noticing.
If you have any means of audio recording this,
I will sure try. I'll take some pictures.
So I would love to hear a legitimate Gordy conversation where you try and steer
Boy, I feel like secretly recording a conspiracy theorist could go down poorly.
I think they'd be into it.
You think
that's
so?
That's all they want.
It's justification.
You're just going to get them to nut.
Just interesting thing to have on tape. Yeah, I guess. I'll get me some hits on YouTube.
Sure.
So yeah, I'll report back in a couple weeks.
Probably gonna do it.
That'll do it.
Yep. Thank you very much, Sandra from Valencia, Spain.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra from Valencia, Spain. I hear it's nice there too.
Yeah, it seems pretty nice. For suggesting this, and thank you, Roast Rabbit, for sponsoring us.
Thank you, Roast Rabbit.
Thank you, Roast Rabbit.
Thank you to all of our patrons for continued support and constant laughs and the like 8 billion interruptions during this recording.
Thanks, patrons.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Tim, Justin, Jenna, Jen, Heather, Lily, Dom, Robert, Sarah, Whisper Biscuit, Jeremiah.
Thanks, top tier patrons.
Thank you.
Earlier. Roast Rabbit, Haley, Sarah, Whisper Biscuit, Dom, the other Dom, 4 Jennas.
Got him.
That's the order Patreon gave me. It has re-ranked you.
Take it up with them.
Earn my affection.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Tommy Chong.
Thank you, Tommy Chong.
Thank you, Nickelbag.
Thank you, Nickelbag.
Thank you, Damodar.
Thank you, Damodar. You've given me so much.
Thank you, Checkmate.
Thank you, Checkmate.
Thank you, Checkmate.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.